Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Shea Adam noticing that at the front of the GT Daytona field, Corey Lewis has caught up to, I think that's Ben Keating, he was behind there. Shane, Ben is desperately trying to stay on the lead lap.
It is, and Corey's actually been stuck behind the 74 Mercedes for quite a few laps now. It's been at least 10, maybe 15 minutes. Their due pit stops, though, are the leaders, the 48 and the 86 of the Lamborghini and the Acura, both approaching their pit window. Keating, as well, has been out there for 51 minutes, so all three of those cars should be coming in very soon. But yes, I noticed when one of our leaders went missing on the tracker, John, and that was because he was so close to the car in front of him.
Are you watching the Dancing Ants, are you? Brian Till's favourite.
I'm watching Dancing Ants, timing, Twitter, Skype, everything.
Good, excellent stuff. Brian Till back with us tomorrow on IMSA Radio. He's on NBC duty at the moment for television for the US TV audience on NBCSN. He'll be back with Jeremy for the Lamborghini race. Jeremy and I will call the second of the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA Porsche races. And then, of course, we've got the Michelin Pilot Challenge, a four-hour encounter tomorrow, because this is the Michelin Endurance Challenge weekend. The race that should have been at Watkins Glen, couldn't go there for COVID reasons. Oh, side-by-side, and was there a touch there for the second and third places down into turn 10. The Acura of Dane Cameron has the place for the moment, but through goes the 31 as they come underneath the Fox Factory Bridge. And Pete Modirani's gone through, but my goodness, they were on the dusty side of the track, Jeremy, coming down the hill to turn 10, which is where I picked it up. And Pete clearly had a good run and being pushed further and further over the left-hand side, but he has made the pass now and is up into second position.
Yeah, he's been trying to do that for a long, long time. Dane Cameron, just wondering whether he perhaps used a set of used tyres during his round.
Oh!
Is that the Magnus
S's, and it's the Magnus 44 car that's gone off. Oh, what a shame. Spencer Pumpelly was in a decent position. Full course caution. Oh, what a shame. And the 2 hours and 45 minutes, 2 hours, 44 and 53 seconds, actually, comes to an end. Now, there was traffic and Pete's in there as well as he's coming down through the S's. Oh, Pete went down the inside. Great piece of placement of an interim tyre barrier on the way to the outside wall, which undoubtedly slowed the Magnus car down before the impact with the wall. I have a suspicion, Jeremy, that race control might be looking at that. I couldn't tell from here whether there was a touch or whether Spencer just had to avoid the prototype coming through.
Yes, have another look here. And yeah, we've talked about it before. I mean, he's certainly keeping well to the left-hand side of the racetrack. There is Spencer Pumpelly. And the gap was wide open for the number 31 car. So that certainly will be the case he will be pleading.
Yes, absolutely. And just by the way, we were talking earlier on about the excellence of the balance of performance. I should pay tribute to Matt Curdock, who's the technical director for IMSA now. Jeff Carter has stepped up to being senior director sales at series platforms and therefore doesn't oversee the technical side of things anymore. But certainly the processes put in place over the last few years have worked very, very well indeed. And Matt Curdock continues the excellent work that has been done, as I say, in the last few years. Safety team are there. The door is open. And we are under our fourth full course caution. One right at the start of course. Then we had the debris from the tyre of the number four Corvette. Then we had...
Wing mirror, wasn't it?
Debris again at the top of the at the top of turn two from the BMW, and then we've gone, as I say, 2 hours and 45 minutes, pretty much even. And just to let everybody know who are listening on the PA 98.1, we've had confirmation for the team that Spencer is all right. Looked a pretty scary accident, particularly as he careered through the first set of barriers. Our first set of tyres. But I know, Lindsay, that you're listening there. Confirmation from the team that Spencer has been talking and he's all right. As you know, everybody knows, he's not going to be dragged out of the car until everything is confirmed by the medics on site. But he has been talking and everything appears at the moment to be all right. Just to put your minds at rest, those of Spencer's family, who I know are at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. We'll give you an update when we have it. Pit stops have started. Shea Adam.
Prototype pits are open, so all the prototypes decided to come down and visit. And I saw Ryan Briscoe up on the wall for the glossy black and ConocoPhillips Cadillac. Although, yeah, there he goes. It was just taking a little while to see Ranger's bright yellow helmet jumping out of that car. It was fuel only by the looks of it for the Mazda. They got in and out super fast. For Nunez, fuel only, I would guess, for Durrani and the 31 Cadillac as well. Looked like a more substantial service for Dane Cameron in the number 6, although we are still trying to figure out. He will have to do at least one stint with not brand new tires over the course of the race for Dane Cameron because of the spin at the start of the race, which resulted in them using a new set of tires when they were planning on it. Ricky Taylor is in the number 7, and he has left the pit lane in his Acura. Ryan Hunter-Reay back in number 55. Just, that would have some new tires on it. And Sebastian Corday stays aboard the number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac, although that one's still back in 7th place. So I would guess that the time it took them in the pit lane, that would be fuel tires as well.
Well, only 2/3 of a stint for the Mazda, of course. So if you are going to reuse a set of tires, a few safety car laps... what was it, 19, 20 laps for Nunez? He was the last one in, wasn't he? So yeah. Nunez and Bomarito were the last two cars in on the same lap, about a lap behind, at least a lap behind everybody else. Van der Zander's the one who's got the benefit out of that because he was closest to his normal pit stop window. Correct. Jeremy.
Correct, that's right. And the other beneficiaries, of course, number 7 and number 5 that have fallen quite a long way back from the lead pack. So when we go back to green, we're going to have all 7 of the remaining DPI cars together on the racetrack. So that's going to be fun for the final. Well, it's going to be just less than 2 hours of this race. That's going to be pretty interesting. That was a pretty nasty impact. Have another look at it here. And I'm sure as he turned into the corner that Spencer Papali probably wouldn't even have seen number 31.
Why, he's on the other side of the car, isn't he? That's
well,
the thing.
Because that also, plus the 31 car came also past one of the Acuras from Meyer Shank Racing as well. So when he last looked into the mirrors, he probably saw just the Acura rather than the DPI car. So unfortunate there very much for Spencer Papali.
Hello to Bryn Smith in Nottingham, who's watching and listening on. In comes the GT field, and it's GT Daytona we're focusing on, Shea Adam.
The leader comes in. Corey Lewis will be staying in the pit lane after doing a double stint. So I think that's Corey done for the day. That's Madison Snow getting back into the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. Also into the pit lane, the 86 Acura Shinny Machini was the one, it was Matt McMurray who brought it in. See, I'm doing the same thing as you, John. And I believe it is Super Mario's turn, finally, to get to drive that car. They've done two-hour stints, basically, for all of their drivers. For the Lexuses, it is Daniel Morad who brought in the 14 and Aaron Tielitz who brought in the 12. It should be Townsend Bell taking over the 12 and Jack Hawksworth taking over the 14. Cooper McNeil serving his drive time, doing a really good job, I have to say, for somebody who hadn't driven the car at all before the race began. it might be Jeff Westphal actually getting back into that car to do a bit more driving time and save Tony Vallander for the end of that race. That is Jack Hawksworth's helmet as he watches for the fuel probe to be removed to be able to leave the track. Farnbacher jumped ahead of Townsend Bell and then was Madison Snow on the pit stop sequence. And in GTLM, just to round everything out nicely, fuel and tires for every car that came into the pit lane, which was all five of them aside from the 912. Fred McAvecky stayed aboard, Bruner Spengler stayed aboard, Jordan Taylor stayed aboard, Don Edwards stayed aboard, and Tommy Milner stayed aboard. So there was no change throughout the GTLM field.
Excellent stuff.
So what that this caution period also does is bring the Corvettes back into play, particularly, of course, number four car that had been at the very tail end of the lead lap in GTLM. So again, we'll have all GTLM cars back together again. Number 912 cars still a couple of laps down.
Well, they're going to get one lap back, I think, because they stayed out, Jeremy. So they're going to play that game, which is absolutely the right thing to do, because you frankly just don't know. Yellows do breed yellows. Oh, yeah. That's what they say. And this, and now with, you know, under 2 hours to go, it's starting to get a bit more frantic, and people are getting a little less patient. Our Porsche keys to the race, track position, a bit of patience. We can forget the middle part of the Michelin Endurance Cup points now. That's well behind. We've still got an hour and 48 minutes to go. And being clean from here to the end is going to be super important, because all of those guys who had problems earlier on, including the front runners, let's not forget both the Acuras, well, you know, the 6 car was facing the wrong direction before it got to the green flag. The 7 car dropped off the lead lap within the first 25, 30 minutes with two penalties. And now they're sitting third and fourth and right back in it again. That's the benefit of time in a 6-hour race, which we don't have now, Jeremy. So any mistakes now are going to be doubly difficult to get back from.
Indeed so. You're right. And look, the number 74 car, Ben Keating, we talked about him just before the yellow. Did he go? I think he must have gone a lap down to the leaders, because he's just got the pass round, because when the caution period came out, he was picked up by the safety car. That's right. So he's now got the wave around and able to get back onto the lead lap. He's now making his pit stop, as are the number 23 car and a number 16. So I think we'll have those three cars back onto the lead. Yeah, the Aston Martin and the Porsche.
Correct.
Number 16, that had made a pit stop just about three laps before the caution period. So we'll have all of those three cars back onto the lead lap in GTD. Also in GTD, there's been a fair shuffling during that round of pit stops. Number 48 car has come out of the pits, I believe, now in third position. The Mario Farnbacher now leads in number 86.
Great.
Enters in number 12 of Townsend Bell. So both of those two have leapfrogged the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. Jack Hawksworth remains in fourth. Actually, he's got ahead of the Ferrari. So Hawksworth is now ahead of Jeff Westphal in the Scuderia Corsa Ferrari. Those are the top five cars that were on the lead lap. When we get back to green, however, because they got the wave around when the other guys made their pit stops, 16, 74 and 23 will be back on the lead lap in GTD. In GTLM, there was one change, and potentially a significant one, during that pit stops. The number 3 car got out ahead of the number 24. So it's number 911 Porsche leads, 25 BMW second. Number 3 Corvette is now in third place ahead of John Edwards in the 24 BMW. And then Tommy Milner is back in that to train now in fifth position in GTLM. And the only other real significant change, DPI, the number 31 car got past the number 6 right before the pit stops. And the loser there was the number 55 that fell back behind both the number 7 and the number 10 car. Yeah. I'm not surprised about falling behind number 10, because that would have needed, number 10 car would have needed more fuel, wouldn't it? So
yeah, correct. They were spot on. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what happened to the 55 car on that round of pit stops.
And just to finish off on
change drivers, maybe that was it. Ryan Hunter Ray back of the wheel of that car.
And just to finish off that, the Paul Miller number 48 Lamborghini was 6 seconds longer in the pits than either the number 86 Acura or the number 12 Lexus. So that's going to do it. And all that hard work, again, as we mentioned in the Porsche Keys to the Race, pit stops, you work all that time. You know, people always say, well, you know, you've got to be clean on green flag pit stops, that's when it's going to cost you. No, you have to be clean on every pit stop, because if it's a yellow flag pit stop, everybody's in at the same time. So, yes, I understand what the people are saying, that they want to focus on a green flag pit stop. But just because it's yellow, if it's full course yellow and everybody's in, then you're still being judged against everybody else, Jeremy. And any time lost is still time lost.
No, it's much more crucial under yellow, because for exactly that reason, John, that the yellow flag pit stops are much more important than the green flag pit stops, because the cars are absolutely nose to tail as they come in. Generally, if they're out on a racetrack, they'll probably be separated by maybe a second or two or three or something. But when they come in nose to tail, then any microscopic time lost during a pit stop is going to be way, way more costly.
Chris Humphrey saying, great to see how the interim tyre barrier worked, which certainly saved the driver and car from further damage. Surely we'd be looking at arm core barrier damage, which could be a long, long delay to pull back and secure. Chris Humphrey's one of the Orange Army in the UK, and I don't mean a supporter of Max Verstappen, although he might well be, but he is one of the great team of ladies and gentlemen who go out and give up their time as flag marshals and corner workers, as you would call them, here at Road Atlanta. And thank you to all of our volunteers, again, those who are doing the track work here. Busy weekend of motorsports around the world at the moment, and many people are giving up their free time to ensure that motorsport, whether it's the Virgin Australia Supercars that I've been watching this weekend, it's Superbikes, British Superbikes at Silverstone, it's Formula One and the attendant races in Italy at Monza, of course, or here at Road Atlanta, and all of the other meetings that perhaps aren't getting big coverage. I know there's a classic meeting at Brands Hatch as well in the south of England this weekend. Thank you so much for those of you who are volunteers but are in every other way, apart from getting paid, a very, very professional set of essential workers at racing venues. Thank you. So from all of us who watch or indeed compete, not as much as I'd like to, but we simply couldn't go racing without you all. Thank you so much. Now, by the way, we have got incident responsibility. The 31, Pete Mudrani with the 44. That will be a drive-through when we go back to green. That's awful. That is, it's when I say it's awful, I don't mean that's a bad decision. But coming after a full course yellow, of course, it means that he's going to get a lot of cars between himself and the leader. Fought his way up into a challenging position at the front of the field. But now we'll drop all the way down. Probably going to drop, what did we say it was to transit the pit lane? It's about 30 seconds, isn't it, that you lose. So that is going to be a lot of time lost for people to run
it. Behind.
Yeah, I'd think so. And that's the sort of mistake and penalties pressure. That's what it does. We talked in the Keys to the Race, Jeremy, didn't we, about the areas of the tracks where sometimes you have to play follow my leader.
Well done, John. That's exactly the point I was going to make. Yes. And through the S's there, it's a really difficult place to overtake. You've got to know that the guy that you're passing, it knows you're there. And like I said before, I'm sure the Spencer Papelli wouldn't even have seen the number 31 car, because he whistled past the number, I think it was the number 86 Acura, out of turn three. And you can do that if you're on that short little straight. It's a minute little straight between the right and the left, or the left and the right. Yes, you can dive down there, but he tried to make two there, and that's the tricky bit. If you just pass one, but I think people should have been a little bit more circumspect there, and he's going to lose a lot of time, but as we've seen during this, that's what happens at this racetrack.
And big consequences at any part of this circuit, but particularly at the Esses. It is so quick. You've raced here, Jeremy, a number of times in a variety of different cars, and you are absolutely on the ragged edge of adhesion. Doesn't matter what you're driving through there, you're barely in control of the car on a good lap, and if something goes wrong, there's so little time to react and get it back. That's why I thought Ben Keating did such a good job earlier on when he had that wiggle in the 74 AMG GT3, and although he was all four Michelins on the track, he actually didn't have the big accident that it could have been. There's so little time to react down there.
There is. I mean, that's total commitment through this sequence of corners there. You're right. And I talked about it when we first saw the incident from the helicopter above. Spencer Perlew was way over to the left-hand side of the racetrack, which looked very inviting for Pipo Durrani. But of course, the GT car has to get all the way across to the left-hand side of the track there for that right-hander. Otherwise, he's not going to make the corner. And that's the problem that Pipo Durrani probably should have anticipated. Green flag.
And Pipo will want to get out in front if he can and then come in for the pit stop. He's got three laps to serve that. Otherwise, he'll get a further penalty. An hour and 40 minutes, just under. So what's that, 100 minutes to go. Great work by Robbie Fawley in the Turner Motorsports BMW to stay out the way. They're many laps down. They're not in a fight. There's no need for them to be in with anybody that is. So on the restart, got all the way over to the driver's right. Absolutely brilliant. And that is, you know, really respectful driving from cars that are down laps. Right, let's pick up some battles. In GT Le Mans, Fred Marchevecchi has speared away, actually, to a 1.3-second lead from Bruno Spengler. Bruno's got the Corvette of Jordan Taylor behind him, then John Edwards, then Tom Milner's another couple of seconds further back, so he's got his hands full. At the front of the field, Tristan Nunes leads from Pipo Durrani, who will have to come down pit lane for a drive-through. Then Cameron, and in fact, Durrani's in the pit lane now. Then Cameron and Taylor then will go through in second and third as Pipo does this drive-through. Let's see. He's already dropped the seventh position, so he's dropped to the back of the cars on the lead prototype lap. He's only halfway down the pit lane on the pit lane speed limiter. A fired-up Pipo Durrani is going to be box office for the last 97 minutes of this race, Jeremy. But he's going to be coming out right into the GT and GTD battles, and that's going to make life very difficult for him.
Well, yeah, and that's the second incident responsibility call on that car in this race, isn't it?
Because,
because Felipe Nasr was called for that incident at the very start with Dane Cameron, so it's been a really difficult day for that wheel and engineering team. They've got some work to do to catch back up, and really, well, not really, yes, really, they are going to need a full course caution to get back into contention.
Pipo's good. He's very good. He's, let's say, 32 seconds behind. So that was the bad guess by me, actually, when I was working out the loss of time. 32 seconds behind the leader. And I'll keep an eye on that split, because I do get the micro splits here as well. That's just gone out to 32. So let's see how he's doing and where he's more to the point here. You've got the dancing ants. Where has Pipo dropped into traffic? What's he got around him? And the answer is the head of the GTD field and the whole GT Le Mans field is right in front of him at the moment. And of course, they're having their own scraps in the late evening or early evening sunshine here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Mine, he's hit them in not the worst place because he's got through the battle at the sharp end of the GT Daytona field. On the front straight and carves his way through at the top of the hill at turns 2 and 3. And now a bit of a gap before he's got, I think Madison Snow is his next target ahead of him. Yes, it is. So that's third in GT Daytona. So actually not as bad as I thought it was, but he is losing time to the leaders. It was 31 seconds, it's now 35, Jeremy. And that's the issue. He's got to fight through all of these before he can start claiming time back on the leaders.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's going to take another few laps before they catch the tail end of the field, the race leaders, until they catch GTD contenders. two great laps there from our race leader, Tristan Nunez, to a 10.5 and a 10.4 his last two laps, again taking advantage of that clear air out in front.
Battle for second in GTD, coming down to 10A and B, the two Lexus either side of Madison Snow. T-Bell is in second, Jack Hawksworth is in fourth, and the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini driver is in the middle of them through turn one. This is just allowing Super Mario Farmbacker in the 86 MSR Acura to just get away. It's 2.5 seconds. That'll take some getting back. Those cars, these cars in GTD are very evenly matched. An hour and a half to go, so that's going to be one more pit stop for these guys. They've been getting just under an hour, about 55, 56 minutes, depending on the car manufacturer, but they're very evenly matched both in performance and fuel mileage. So there will be one more pit stop for the GTD leaders, and it will not be a quote unquote full pit stop. So the choice will be, Jeremy, come in about 35, 40 minutes time and go to the end there, or run all the way to the end of the fuel that you've just put in and have round about 40 minutes to go at the end. Back to green at an hour and 40 to go, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, so very marginal for the DPI cars to get to the end on just two stops. They may well need a splash.
Yes.
But they probably won't need a splash.
We've been
saying they definitely will need a splash.
35.
This is a yellow.
Yeah, 35, 36 minutes. Those guys. Now everybody on the same pit stop strategy, of course, and let's remember when we look at this in the future that Pete Durrani had the drive through, so that short stint isn't an issue. So everybody's been out for about 20 minutes, but the first five laps of those 11 that have been completed were yellow flags. Now that's going to take them, the last time we had yellows was a long way back. That's going to add a couple or three laps to their stint. But I'm not sure. I think you're right, Jeremy. I still think it's going to be too tight. Even if they can get 32, 33 laps instead of the 30, that doesn't divide up nicely.
No one's done 32 laps.
With the yellow, you might get 32. The Masters will get yellow.
If there's a yellow, then the problem will go away. But if there isn't a yellow, it is a problem.
The Mazdas have done a 31-lap stint in full green. They've had the first five laps of this stint was under yellow. BMW versus Corvette, a couple of moments ago, down to turn 10. I think there was a bit of paint traded there in the braking area. And through from fourth position has gone then John Edwards over Jordan Taylor. So it's now Porsche, BMW, BMW, Corvette, Corvette. But still plenty of time. That was forceful from the BMW driver, who went round the outside of the first part of 10A, which put him on the inside for the left-handed exit part. And that's where he made it stick. 69.
Yeah, meanwhile, in GTD, Super Mario Farmbacker has pulled out 3.5 seconds over Townsend Bell in second position. Townsend Bell still struggling to hold off. Jack Hawksworth,
who's now got past Madison Snow.
A
little bit too much curb on the exit of five last time around is how he lost that to Hawksworth.
Yeah, and also Jan Halen in the number 16 Porsche has got past Jeff Westphal in number 63 Ferrari as well.
Right, now I'm very confused because it looks to me as though Madison's got back through there. Yes, he has. Hawksworth dropped two places in the shuffle with the leading cars coming through. So it's Farmbacker, Bell, Snow, or if you prefer, Acura, Lexus, Lamborghini, and Jan Halen's gone through. Hawksworth then down from third to fifth in one fell swoop. So that's how quickly things can change, dear listener and viewer. at RSL underscore studio. Use the hashtag Michelin PRT. At IMSA Radio with the hashtag Michelin PRT for our post-race tech wrap-up of what's been going on. And my goodness, have we got stuff to talk about today. Really have.
I tell you, we have, don't we? It's just been tremendous stuff. And there's a pass there for fifth position. Sebastian Bourdais has got past Ryan Hunter-Reay. So the two IndyCar veterans battling over fifth position. But it's now that Bourdais has got that position from Ryan Hunter-Reay.
That's Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam is our... Now, I'm just pausing for a moment. I think there's a problem for Hawksworth. Yes, there is. He's lost the right front tyre and it's done damage. It looks like he's been off as well. Car sitting down on the right-hand side and part of the guard's gone as well. And I think there might be even be suspension damage there. But there's no rubber on the rim. And that car will head into the pit lane. So that is a disaster for a car that's been running so well. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter. Go ahead, Shea.
This is a huge moment because Jack Hawksworth, coming into the race today, was tied with Matt McMurray and Super Mario Farnbacher for the points lead in GTD. He has driven with Aaron Tielitz since the second round of the championship this year, and he has maintained a three-point lead over his co-driver. That's about to evaporate with this pit stop because Aaron Tielitz, sharing the 12, that car is currently in second place. But yes, Hawksworth into the pit lane. The crew goes to work. They're going to change the tires first, doing all four of them. And those are sticker tires going on for Hawks. So they need to make sure there's no damage to the front right of that car when
there's
the tire
damage,
gave
sure.
out. But there is damage because we can see part of the tire where we should see bodywork. So the crew now, just now, getting the front right off, actually, and going to work in the wheel well, trying to look a little bit more closely into.
Well, what happened to Hawksworth? He's already been shuffled back to fifth position. Lost the tire going up to five, I would say, and went off in five and hit the wall. He looked to be, Jeremy, I would say, on the right kind of line there going into five. He turned in and then the car wouldn't turn. I think that might have been... Oh, and now a spin for the number 11 Lamborghini. Richard Highstand behind the wheel for GRT Grasser Racing. And amazingly, he's managed to spin and not hit anything or be hit by anybody. And that's at turn five as well. And Pipo Durrani's there as well, but I don't think he was involved. Oh, that was close. Very close indeed. Just going back to the Jack Hawksworth incident for a moment. I'll get back to Shea in for an update on that. But I think that tyre went as he turned into five, and that might have been a result of the shenanigans that saw him shuffled back from third to fifth a lap or so before.
Yeah, could well have been, couldn't it? That's a big blow to their championship aspirations, of course, for number 12 car. They, as Shea was saying, they came in here tied on points with the Mario Farnbacher's car, Mario Farnbacher and McMurray. And they're tied, by the way, primarily as a result of the fact that the Farnbacher and McMurray should have been, or thought they were, 2 points ahead. But put to the back of the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, that cost them, they finished third, didn't they? That put them all the way to the back. That elevated Jack Hawksworth. They got two more points, so they came in the lead. Here's a pit stop for number 77 car. That's not right.
No, that isn't right. That isn't right at all. With, what, just under 90 minutes to go, Tristan Nunes has only been out there for six laps. Shea Adam can update us on the Lexus while we also keep an eye on what's going on down at Multimatic.
Are we sure that Nunez hasn't been out there for 27 and a half minutes? Because that's what I'm showing for everybody else in terms of the time. But this is fuel and tires for Tristan. He's staying aboard for the time being. Not seeing any damage or anything particularly out of place on the car.
No, he has been out for that amount of time, but it's only 16 laps, of which five were under the safety car. He pitted with everybody else. He should be doing another 15, 16 laps.
No, and Oliver Jarvis just jumped over the wall, putting his gloves on as he was coming around to the far side of the car. So this is too soon. I will send a message to the team and find out what's going on.
Ugh. Stop the engine now.
Yeah.
So that, I'm afraid, is their challenge over as well as the front cover comes off. And they're looking at the reservoirs on the front. There'll be brake and, well, there'll be brake reservoirs. I was going to say in clutch reservoirs, but nowadays, of course, there aren't. And is that an overflow there as well that I can see? Yes, it is. Power steering, I reckon. I think that's the power steering that is boiling, the power steering fluid that's boiling. Well, if that is the case, no wonder they got it in. They're trying to top something up further back as well under pressure. That'll be something engine related. Well, that might have just been then a water radiator at the front, but they certainly were looking at the reservoirs. In goes fluid under pressure in a bright red bottle with a blue bottom to it. And this is Mazda out with the 77. One bullet gone for them as well, Jeremy. And then there was, well, there was six. I was going to say there were five, but Durrani has stopped the rot and got it back to 32 seconds the lead, and he's just done the fastest first sector of the race at an 8 second first sector, so he's riled up, but he's still half a minute behind, but he's not out of it, so all of a sudden we're down to 60 PIs still in with a chance.
That's right, yeah, but he's only back in it if there's another full course caution. If there isn't, unless really bizarre happens, there's no way he's going to claw that back that sort of deficit with just an hour and 20 minutes remaining in the race. So now we're an Acura Team Penske 1-2 then, just a second and a half or so separating Dane Cameron from Ricky Taylor, and they've edged away a little bit since this restart from Ryan Briscoe in third place. Ryan Briscoe, meanwhile, is doing all he can to keep Sebastian Bourdais behind him in that car number five. Then Ryan Hunter-Reay in the now remaining Mazda he's fallen back a little bit as well, a couple of seconds behind that battle for third and fourth.
Yeah, look at the lap times, Jeremy. 109 last time around, 109.7 for Durrani. That's his fastest lap of the race. Everybody else in the mid to high 110s. We've picked the pace right back up again now. People realising that this is effectively, when we went back to green, it was a 100-minute sprint to the checkered flag. There'll be nothing safe now. There'll be nothing left on the table. It is full fast all of the time.
It is. This for the other categories, you know, it's still game on. I mean, look at GTLM. Fred McAvey leads by 0.7 of a second over Spengler. So it's number 9-11, 25, 24, 3. Number 4 car he's within a couple of seconds as well, so he's actually made up a little bit of that ground. So game very much on in GTLM.
Yeah, that's cracking. Absolutely cracking. Fair play as well to Simon Trummer, who's just put the fastest LMP2 lap of the race in. Remember, we told you Colin Brown had stolen that away a little while ago. Well, it's back now in the hands of PR1 Matheson Motorsport and Simon Trummer, who's just put in a 110. No, he hasn't, has he? He has. He's put in a 110.8.
Yeah.
That is mighty. That is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? I mean, you know, the lap record set last year by Gabriel Aubry in that same car was 111.8. The record, to be fair, was Carl Masson last year at 110.7. So he's got another tenth of a second to beat the qualifying lap record as well as Simon Trummer.
That's remarkable. That is remarkable. What's he just clipped off the off the 18 car? What did Colin did? Colin did an 11.2. So he did an 11.2. He's just done a 10.8. He's just taken 0.4 out of Colin Brown. That I mean, I've got to tell you, Simon Trummer, he's taken 0.4 out of Colin Brown in a race, in race trim. That's a red letter day for anybody. That in the same machinery. That is a red letter day. A little golf clap here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre for Simon Trubber. All right, I know that they're not in the heat of a battle or anything like that, and he's got relatively new tyres on, having just come out the pit. But I'm sorry, that's very impressive. Take that one home and stick it on your wall, Simon. Excellent stuff. And welcome back to the US racing as well. He's been very careful and very considerate about his travel as Simon. A lot of drivers have been bouncing backwards and forwards to Europe and in and out of even hot zones in Europe. Simon's been very respectful to all of the requirements and protocols, and has been having to make some difficult decisions about where he does and indeed where he doesn't race. And rewarded with a very good lap there. Well done, that man.
Yeah, well done, that man.
Rob Chalmers has just tweeted at Aris, at IMSA Radio. I know it's Saturday, but can somebody tell Simon Trummer this isn't the qualifying session? Yes.
Look, he hasn't got anybody to race against now because, of course, number 18 car is many, many laps behind.
True that.
But he's a racing driver, so he's going to still race as hard as he possibly can. Hats off to him. And, you know, it's a shame he's not back on the lead lap because he might have somebody to handle for the DPI cars. It's been a tremendous performance by PR1 Matheson Motorsports. It started off, of course, by Patrick Kelly, who put the car on the pole position, as he has done in two of his three starts. Actually, he's only qualified the car twice, or make that three of his four starts. He's only qualified, every time he's qualified, he's put it on the pole position. Scott Huffaker, the youngster newcomer from Menlo Park in California, 21-year-old, did an excellent stint as well. And now Simon Trummer from Switzerland is carrying on that great work.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff indeed.
Game on in front of the field. Oh, between
it absolutely
the two
is. I'm just looking at that. That's absolutely extraordinary. Look at the lap times, Jeremy. Last time around for the leader, 1:10.6, 1:10.5 for second place, and half a second just over between the two Acuras, who all of a sudden have found a, well, is it a second or a third wind? I mean, they both had their problems in this race, and if they pull a race victory, and a particularly a first and second out of here, they'll think they've won the lottery this weekend, because this could have been a disastrous race for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Quite extraordinary. Just a bad few minutes as well for the Lexus team, the Ian Vassar-Sullivan team. Hawksworth still in the pits with that damage to the right front, having been shuffled back from third to fifth. And Townsend Bell's dropped a couple of places as well. Both Madison Snow and Jan Heerlen have gone through. Now, he's still there, but he's dropped 3 seconds now to those two. And now the gap is, the battle is between the Acura of Mario Farnbacher for MSR, the 86 car, and 5.5 seconds behind, and closing in gently is...
No, it's about the same.
5.5. Yeah, 5.5. It went from 5.5 something to 5.493 as I was watching, and I thought, oh, is that
Wait
just...
a minute, this is an early pit stop.
Very early. Very early, Jeremy, for...
Oh, sorry, no, wait a minute. That was the car that had a penalty, didn't it? So
yes.
I still think it's a little bit early.
No, it is. They've come in after 25 laps. And you know, everybody's been doing pretty much 30 laps. So if I just scroll back through the two Acuras, yeah, they've done 30 laps, dude.
This is going to put him off the lead lap.
Well, they're putting... It looks like they were putting Felipe Nasr back in as well to the 31. Juan Montoya sitting impassively at the back of the Acura pit. The only thing I can think of for the 31, are they splitting the race from here, Jeremy? That's the only thing I can think of, that they are splitting the race into two parts from here, because that is about spot on, just over 70 minutes. So there'll be one more pit stop from here.
Yeah, just about an hour and 15 to go. That's right. I think they're going to drop off the lead lap, I think, with this pit stop. So, they're going to have to need a caution to get back on the lead lap with everybody else.
Okay.
But hey, look, when you're that far back, anything's worth a bit of a gamble, because if there isn't a full course caution, then they're not going to catch him in any case. So by making this stop now, it potentially could put them in a better position in what, half an hour's time or so.
Let's go to Shea Adam for VP Racing Fuels pit update. We were worried that Townsend Bell might have some kind of issue with the car. He's dropped back a couple of places and is now, in fact, 4 seconds behind the snow. Hale and battle for second position, which is closing up nicely. What do we know about the remaining in Vassar Sullivan Lexus ship?
Yes, and that is important because the 14 has gone behind the wall now, so that is a very bad day for the 14. As far as the 12 is concerned, though, John, there is no issue with the car. Townsend Bell reporting that he's having difficulty hearing over the radio, and that distracted him while the two cars got around him a little bit earlier on. But the 12 is mechanically okay, just the driver is the one having a slight issue. You'd think not being able to hear would help you go faster.
Jeremy Shaw, the exclamation there at the final corner as the leading Acura's carved their way through the GT Le Mans battle, and specifically the two Corvettes in fourth and fifth.
Yeah, and they changed position there, the two Acuras. So it's now Ricky Taylor ahead of Dane Cameron as they work their way through there. And all the GTLM leaders are pretty much nose to tail here. So they've got to work their way through all of them. And really great job there by Ricky Taylor. Look, he's already put a couple of GTLM cars between himself and Dane Cameron. That was a really excellent move. He timed that absolutely to perfection. And he's now got a pretty handy margin over his teammate.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because Spengler has halved, more than halved, the lead that McEvecky had. It's just gone out for a moment as the leaders weave their way through the traffic. It was over 1.5 seconds, and then it went down to, well, it's gone down to 0.4 now. Marvellous bit of driving by Ricky Taylor, coming down through 10, the gaggle of GT Le Mans cars.
That was it. There's the
teammate
move.
Gets slightly caught up behind the Corvette in fifth position, and he dives to the right-hand side under the Fox Factory Bridge, squares off the corner and says, I'll have the lead. Thanks very much indeed. I'll see you at the checkered flag. Pulled out 2 seconds as well, by the way. Only another 2 seconds further back, Ryan Briscoe in that number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac with Bourdais right up his tailpipes, and Ryan Hunter rear another 0.5 second further back. 3 cars for third, fourth and fifth, Jeremy, in absolutely no space on the track at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a tremendous battle now. So now for second place, but you know, don't count out any of these guys. But what a great that was by Ricky Taylor. He just took full advantage of that traffic and was able to scythe on through. That lap for Dane Cameron, 1:15.9, so he lost more than 5 seconds on that one lap.
So we've got that phenomenon that we hear at IMSA Radio and Radio Show Limited called clumping out on the track. You can have the biggest track in the world and the smallest number of cars, but ultimately they will attract themselves to each other, and everybody will be in the same piece of track who's fighting for position at the same time. And that is the essence of mixed class, multi-class endurance racing, and it's been a feature of IMSA racing ever since I can remember as well. Still that GT Le Mans battle, which is absolutely raging, going under the hill now, under the bridge now, at the top of the hill. Thank you, Shay. The two Acuras, well, Ricky Taylor has pressed the afterburners. He's found some pace through the traffic, Jeremy. I mean, the lap times are out at 1:12 at the moment, but he's taken 4 seconds out to Dane Cameron, who was the class of the field earlier on. This is not somebody who's turned up for an arrive and drive. This is Dane Cameron, who was one of the fastest cars on the circuit earlier on today. And since going by, Taylor has pulled out over 4 seconds.
Yeah, and of course, defending series champion as well, isn't he? It's a long time ago, last year.
Hunter Ray in the 55.
Pit stop's now beginning for the leaders.
Tiny bit early because there was a bit of yellow at the start of that. That's only 29 laps when that car's been doing 30 or 31, the Mazdas. But again, what they're looking to do is just square up how far they're going to go in there next. They'll get home with one more pit stop after that one, Jeremy.
Yes, John, they certainly can. I don't think the number 31 car can, actually. I think that was definitely an unscheduled stop for number 31. I think when they came in, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laps ago, that's too long to be able to get to the end of the race with just one more pit stop. But certainly, I believe number 55 car can make it from here.
Now, who did the 55 go out in the hands of? Oh, Ryan Hunter-Reay stayed in. So that was it. Was that a full? Was that a set of tyres as well as some fuel there, Shea? Because there are going to have to be some reused tyres for one or two of the teams. Or was that a brand new shiny set of Michelins that went on for Ryan?
I believe they had already done their double stint, gotten that out of the way, and they were saving the new tires for the end. By the way, just got an answer from Tristan Nunez, literally as you were throwing that to me. It was a brake issue for the 77. That's what caused them to stop.
Right. Okay. Wow. So
similar problem to the Porsche.
Well, actually, somebody tweeted to me and said that smoke you could see was coming out of the brake, backing up out of the brake ducts. And I'm sorry, I can't find that at the moment. So whoever tweeted that at IMSA Radio, thank you very much. You were spot on. And I was going to mention that, but oddly enough, something else happened on the track, which is seemed to have been the story of the day today. Both of the Acuras in. Now, this is sort of covering people off here. They don't want to get the wrong side of a safety car, and they know that they can go with one more stop after this one. Let me have a look at their... Actually, they've done pretty much a full stint there.
Sure.
A little bit short. With the 5 laps of safety car, it's a 31-lap stint, but 5 laps of safety car. I reckon they probably could have done a lap, maybe one... more, maybe two more, but that's pretty much a full stint there, Jeremy, and just one more stint from those guys. They should just about be able to make it with what, 68 minutes to go. They can do 35 minutes. It's tight, but it's doable, I reckon.
No, yeah, definitely no problem at all there for those two cars. That's why they came in then, because from here they can run flat out, make one more pit stop and good to go to the finish. Number 31 car won't be able to do that, I'm pretty sure. And the Cadillacs now, they're going to try and take advantage of some clean air. All of a sudden, those two Penske cars have pulled out a fair margin. All of a sudden, it went from next to nothing to 10 seconds back to the third place car, with the two Acuras pretty evenly split. But now, he's got to put the hammer down here. Ryan Briscoe is back in the lead of this race for the first time since lap 130. We're now just completed lap 221 completed just now. So that number 10 car back in the lead of this race.
He'll pit next time around, or at the latest the one after that, even with the run at the start of this stint being under the Corvette safety car. They have already got 32 laps under their belt in this stint. And I would be surprised if they could do more than 34, even with those laps of the safety car.
Yeah. Oh, with the caution, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, laps of caution right at the start of this. So they've got 32 now. I would expect them to come in at the end of this lap. But you're right, Jeremy. They've got to get the hammer down. 1:10.6 for Briscoe last time around. And Bourdais. So Briscoe has gone around again. So he will do a 34 laps. Bourdais comes in with a 1:10.4 and then a 1:19 as he comes in. So that's two pretty good laps on the in lap for Bourdais. Now, they're not going to put pressure in terms of getting out in front of the Acuras, I'm fairly certain, but they've got to try and keep them honest here. And that's what Jeremy was saying. The Acuras had pulled out a good, 9-10 seconds before this penultimate pit stop, with 66 minutes still to go. And by the way, GT Le Mans, Rach is on. Makovicki, Spengler, half a second behind. Then it's John Edwards, Jordan Taylor and Tom Milner, and they are separated by nothing. There's barely half a second between any of those. Extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, you're right. I tell you what, super consistent at the front here by Ryan Briscoe. His last three laps, 1 minute 10.61, 1 minute 10.63, 1 minute 10.67 last time around. Really tremendous. He now brings that car into the pits with the 22, 23 laps in the books. Well, tell you what, the gainer in that last round was Harry Ticknell in the Mazda.
Yes.
He came in a couple of laps before the Penske cars, and he's come out right on the tail of the number six car.
Yeah. Yeah, and they will need slightly less fuel than the Acuras at the end. The Mazdas have been doing good mileage with the 2-litre four-cylinder turbocharged engine. Here's the leader into the pit lane. Shea Adam is watching the pit stop for Ryan Briscoe,
who is staying aboard the glossy black Cadillac, because Renger van de Zande has been texting me. So I do know that there is no driver change for this one. Fuel and shiny new tires for this Cadillac. And Ryan going to be staying in for at least one more stint, trying to chase down the Acuras out front, just waiting on fuel. Another perfect stop. This team thrives in the long distance races. That is when Konica Minolta Racing comes to the front. Fuel probe comes out. Away goes Ryan Briscoe. Not a second lost.
Thank you, Shea. There goes the Acuras. So I think he's gained a bit of time as well, to be honest. It's certainly not going to be 10 seconds when he comes back out. Maybe it is, actually. 10 seconds spot on to the leader, but perhaps not quite as much to Ticknell. It's actually Ricky Taylor who's pulled out on Juan Montoya, to be honest. Shea, just before I let you go, I know you've been looking... How are we doing on drive times for those that need drive times in the Pro-Am classes?
Well, by my calculations...
Unofficially, we should say, yeah.
By my calculations, and everybody who knows me knows how good I am at math, so I'll just put that out there. The only car right now that has not yet met the minimum drive time would be the 23 Heart of Racing. I believe that Roman DeAngelis still owes us 30 minutes worth of driving. And Darren Turner's been in the car now for a little while, so the next time they pit, they could put Roman back in.
Right, I've got Ian James with 2 hours and 16, Darren Turner with 140, Roman DeAngelis with an hour. So does
Correct.
That back up
and
what you've got?
Yes, he needs 1 hour and 30 minutes, so he needs 30 minutes more.
Okay, spot on. And that was done, by the way, with a notebook and the hourly results that Shea worked that out. I have the advantage of having some strategy software on one of the 2,752 computer screens that I've got around me at the moment. Paul Truswell, I am invoking your skills, but I don't do it as well. I know that. Paul, if you... Listen, I bet you are listening, Paul. I bet you are. Trusses, down in walking. Hope you're feeling better, mate. And speak to you soon. Get you on Haggerty Radio Le Mans at some stage over the week as well. Can't wait to have a chat with Trusses. So, ladies and gentlemen in our broadcast team and the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, we are coming down to the last 1 hour of racing. And we'll run through then how it stands with Acura Team Penske, first and second, 10 seconds between Ricky Taylor in the 7 and Juan Montoya in the 6, who is all of a sudden a second ahead of Harry Ticknell, having been a 10th ahead not so very long ago, but they're carving their way through traffic at the moment. So Acura, Acura, Mazda, then Ryan Briscoe, another second and a half further back. So the top four within 13 seconds. The top five, which is Tristan Vautier in the Mustang sampling Cadillac, the number five car, he's only 21 seconds away from the lead. And still that 30 seconds further back, or 30 seconds from the lead, after the drive-through penalty served by Pipo Durrani after the collision with Spencer Pompelli. Felipe Nasr still has it all to do and is hoping and praying, I'm sure, for a full course yellow in the last hour. In GT Le Mans, what entertainment we've had. And Fred McAvecky flies the Porsche GT team flag high with the 911 RSR at 19. The number 911 ahead by nearly 2 seconds now in the context of that battle. That's actually a bit of a cushion, to be quite honest. From the two BMWs, Bruno Spengler in the 25, John Edwards in the 24, they're about a second apart. A second further back are the two Corvettes. And I do mean the two Corvettes are a second further back, because there's barely a half a second between them. So that is Jordan and Tom, Jordan Taylor and Tom Milner. So that's three from four. And still off the lead lap by just a lap now, but still obviously running in sixth position, the 912 Earl Bamber, after all that issue with the tyre debris wrapping itself around the left rear and causing braking problems. GTD, Farnbacher by 6.9 now from Madison Snow, Acura from Lamborghini, MSR from PMR, 86 from 43. That's the equation at the front of the field. Madison Snow having to defend from Jan Heerlen, as he has been since effectively they came out the pits on their last stop. At just about half a second, the two-tone blue Wright Motorsport Porsche, the number 16. Then 5 seconds further back, Jeff Westphal, the Scuderia Corsa Ferrari. Do you know what? They've really made that early strategy when they didn't stop when everybody else did at the full course yellow. And with a bit of fuel saving, they got to the next safety car. That bounced them up from the bottom end of the top 10. Actually, they might have even been outside the top 10 at that point. But that's bounced them up, and they've held that top six position ever since. Ahead of Lawson Aschenbach, who's now behind the wheel of the 74 Mercedes. He's another 6 seconds further back. He's got a bit of pressure from Townsend Bell. Actually, I think he might have just passed Townsend. And Townsend trying to hang on to the back of him at the moment. 11 seconds further back in seventh is Heart of Racing with Darren Turner. Then it's Alvaro Parent in eighth for Acura and Heinrich Racing with MSR. And then GRT Grasser. And in fact, Parent and Highstand, I think, are off the lead lap. So it's only the top seven in GTD on the lead lap. That's how they stand. 1 hour to go. Don't go anywhere, because you know what these races are like. It's not over yet. There's still plenty of action to go. And we'll start the final hour of racing here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta right now.